Alrighty, welcome back to the very exciting, epic episode of Pro Wrestling Off Topic. It's episode 154 with Joshua Jaeger and Zach Hagenbusher. That I said my name first that time. That's weird. That didn't even sound right.
I know. You did say that first. But to tell you the truth, I didn't even really notice until you just pointed it out. So
I did. That was weird. It came out wrong. It's like, tune in for the epic conclusion of the first time I've ever said my name first.
Tune in for the epic conclusion of a two-part wrestling match. No.
Tune in for an epic conclusion of who is going to get let go by WWE this week.
Turn in for the epic conclusion of who's going to leave AEW this week. It's Jade Cargill.
No, wow.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really know how to feel about that whole thing, but we can get into it. There's a lot to discuss. Of course, there's always a lot to discuss in this wacky world of professional wrestling. And I suppose that's as good of a place to start as any. Yes, we did finally see the cuts from WWE's corporate merger with the UFC. TKO Holdings, now the owners of the company, Vince McMahon,
so weird.
For the very first time since the company was known as the World Wrestling Federation, is not the majority owner of the company. And what's even weirder, and we can get into this in a little bit. In fact, I think we will. I'm not going to get off topic right that moment. We'll discuss that in just a bit. But with these changes has come some culling of the herd, if you will. And frankly, when you see the names that were released, you really cannot be shocked to see these names. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of people losing work, but let's be real. These people that have been released, they weren't working. That's kind of the problem, is that the company had run out of things to do with them, clearly,
right.
A long time ago. So, I mean, when we're talking about Dolph Ziggler getting cut, yes, is a 19-year veteran of the company getting released something that is sad? Sure, absolutely it's sad. But I am not going to sit here and pretend like this wasn't a long time coming.
Right. Yeah, super weird. I mean, the list of wrestlers that they cut, a large chunk of them I don't recognize. And that's probably got a lot to do with the fact that I don't watch a lot of NXT, but a lot of them are also developmental wrestlers. But it looks like they have released 21 wrestlers in a week. They made a sign. They signed one, Jade Cargill. They brought her in from AEW. But I mean, I guess if I look at this, I'd say the biggest surprises, and that's not to say a surprise to us, because we've been saying it for years that Dolph Ziggler was going to be let go by WWE at some point, because they just don't do anything with him ever. Like, they just don't know what to do. They haven't known what to do with him for the last 5 years, except for having him come and get squashed by Goldberg at SummerSlam. Like, what has he done notably? Nothing. I mean, and it's crazy because he's a talented guy. He's an excellent worker. Seems to be a good promo. His voice is a little too high for me. That's something that I've always been irritated with him. He's not like a Shawn Michaels, you know. Shawn Michaels got the voice. He can speak. Even a freaking Miz, you know, like these guys that you're like, you like to listen to. I think Dolph Ziggler has a lot to say, and he says it in a good way. It's just his voice is annoying as fuck. Like, it just doesn't work. I don't know how to say it. It's high pitched. It sounds like any other wrestler.
Hey,
sucked
what's going on?
You guys don't respect. You don't respect me, and I'm going to talk about why. Yeah, like, I don't know.
Drew McIntyre, you need to give me a shot at your WWE Championship, even though I haven't won a match in a year plus. I hated that story. Every story they did with him, I hated, because every single one of them, it was like the only reason why you were invested was because you, as a fan of this company, had a real life investment in the career of Nick Nemeth, aka Dolph Ziggler, and you enjoy right. him as a performer and you want him to succeed. For some reason, well, actually, I mean, I know why. It's because of the time that he came up. If he had showed up, if his character had existed in the Attitude Era, if you will, I think that there is a much higher chance that the natural groundswell of support that got behind Dolph Ziggler would actually have allowed him to reach the heights of smaller good workers that wound up getting pushed. Instead, yes, he did get a couple of token world title reigns that he didn't even actually pin anybody for. Well, except for Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto.
When he pinned him with the Money in the Bank. So it's like both of his world title quote-unquote wins. The first one, he was awarded the championship by Vicky Guerrero on an episode of SmackDown and immediately lost it that night to Edge.
Oof.
And the second one was the Money in the Bank cash-in, which was a moment that if you judge it by the fucking reaction in the building,
yes.
that was a massive moment. And I remember watching that happen live and thinking, finally, they're going to do something with this guy. They understand. I mean, you cannot take that reaction and think that there's nothing to that, right? Well, you're wrong, because Vince McMahon did look at that reaction and went, "What? Who cares about that guy?"
Yeah.
I just don't get it, man. I don't get it. I don't know why they pulled the rug out from under him. At that time, it was him, Big E, and AJ Lee. They were the trio. Yep. And it was definitely a mashed together, thrown together trio because Vince didn't know what to do with any of them.
Right.
But they did something with it, as a lot of great talent does, and they made it into an interesting act on TV. And AJ won the Divas Championship at Payback 2013, which was the first title defense that Ziggler would have since he suffered a concussion a couple of weeks earlier. So there was this whole thing. It was his first title defense. He was finally the world champion on a pay-per-view, bringing the title into the pay-per-view, and he loses clean to Alberto Del Rio in what they tried to pull as like a double turn. Alberto was really, really targeting the head of Dolph Ziggler, trying to take advantage of the fact that he had a concussion just a couple weeks earlier. And that was the psychology. The psychology of the match was a double turn to try and get the crowd to dislike Alberto for what he was choosing to do to Dolph Ziggler. And meanwhile, Ziggler becoming a babyface by refusing to give up, even though he's concussed as shit. Now, this was 2013, so they could get away with a storyline like that bit more. You can never try something like that now. But I just remember feeling like he had all the momentum in the world. And every single time he had any kind of momentum, it was always undercut from him. We know why. It's because Vince McMahon didn't care for him.
He just didn't like it. And it's weird, too, because he would get these moments of amazing momentum.
Yeah.
Wasn't there also a Survivor Series where he was like the surviving Correct. Member of a team? And
Dolph Ziggler like was
major comeback.
Yes. Dolph Ziggler was, in fact, the sole survivor, the last remaining member of Team WWE versus Team Authority.
Yeah,
he defeated the Authority in the Survivor Series match. He hit the super kick 1-2-3, and he sent the Authority packing for like a month or whatever.
Yeah,
and then they
came back.
They were just back. Yeah. He was definitely involved in some major moments. He is still, you know, as far as I understand, he's still a really talented performer. I'm not saying he doesn't have anything to offer the business, but it was clear that WWE has not valued his contributions for a very long time. And I am happy in a way that he is now going to get the chance to potentially spread these wings somewhere else. I mean, it's clear that Tony is not done hiring, right? I think that he could easily find a spot on that roster on TV somewhere, working with some younger guys, trying to bring them up in the fashion that a lot of older talent have already with AEW. I think there is a home for him there, but we'll see.
But he's not ancient. He's not a Matt Hardy. He's not a Jeff Hardy. You know,
that's
he's true. Not
and
ancient.
Those guys
like
are
that.
Allowed to work on TV. So that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way he won't find a spot there. I feel like they'd be stupid not to at least give him a call.
Oh, of course. I'm almost certain, because his brother works in AEW currently, that is where, you know, this guy will go. He'll go to AEW. He'll work there. But is he going to get Jay White-ed? Is he just going to get like Jay White is main event, amazing main event material, who is just, unfortunately, in this weird Saturday night wrestling show program where he's main eventing show after show in these random tag team matches against random people getting hooked up with the Billy Club kids or the Billy Gun kids. Is that what's going to happen to Dolph Ziggler when he goes to AEW? Is this going to be kind of like, yeah, mid-card Dolph Ziggler? Does he deserve more than mid-card? Maybe not. But I mean, what are you going to, like, I would sit there and I'd say, well, what are you going to do with me? Like, what is the plan? Are you going to, can we get a Dolph Ziggler Kenny Omega match? Like, can we get something that'll be like, hey, I'd like to see that. That sounds amazing. Can we get a 2-month program and then we'll figure it out from there? Like, just like, what are you going to do? You're going to put him in a tag team with his brother? Like, you know what I mean? Is it going to, I don't know. Like, I like AEW. Still the best wrestling here in the States. I love it. But like, they have a serious problem of bringing guys in and just, we got you now. Hey, take a seat over here and wait for us to figure out something to do with you, because we're just going to slap some matches together week after week, because now we've got fucking, you know, a pay-per-view a month now. We've got 2 hours of Dynamite, 2 hours of Collision. We'll find somewhere for you to go. You're going to wrestle. Are you going to be in meaningful matches? Are you going to be in anything that really matters anymore? Nah, not really, but we'll get you in some matches. Like that's what they got to figure out, because like, if I look at this entire list of guys that the WWE let go of, I think some of them need to hit the indies. I think some of them need to probably get out of wrestling altogether. But like, let's look at this list real quick. And where do you think they're going to wind up? Not everybody, because not everybody deserves the time in the world. Like at some of the Mustafa Ali, I think would be an excellent addition to AEW. Like, I think he'd be incredible.
Yeah, that's another guy, right? It's like he's been long suffering with them. Obviously, they've never known really what to do with him creatively. Mm-hmm. And his talent is just too high to ignore. And so they had to do something with him, but they clearly never found what they wanted to do. So I'm glad he's getting a new start as well. I mean, I could easily see him in AEW or at the very least one of the other companies out there. Hell, he could be a junior in New Japan.
I think a lot of these guys
would be a hell of a step to take.
I think a lot of these guys and gals would benefit from a trip over to Japan and working in NJPW or Stardom or wherever they want to work. Noah, Pro Wrestling Noah's got good spots open too for people. But like, I think there's a small list of these guys that I think could benefit from a year of being kind of a free agent. And what do I mean by that? I think that Impact Wrestling does a really excellent job of renting wrestlers. So one big free agent coming out of Impact this week too is Sami Callihan. His contract expires at the end of this week. And I'm expecting him 100% to go to AEW. That's my expectation. He's good friends with Jon Moxley. They could finally work together. They can do something, because I think it would be really cool for him to be this surprise member of someone up against whatever the club is called. But like Mustafa Ali, and this is one of three members of this released list here, I think would do really, really well spending a year in Impact and possibly being a main eventer there. Now, him and Josh Alexander, him and Alex Shelley, him and anybody they want to put him with would be good TV, and it also would benefit him because it would up his stock. So his stock, say in 2024, after being a champion in Impact and doing all this stuff, he could go back to WWE and say, look what they did with me. Like, this is a storyline that I came up with. This is what I worked with them to do on TV in front of people. Ratings went up. Bound for Glory sold out. You know, like these things. Like, you could just do that. And it's like, you bet on yourself for a year or two. These guys, Impact, NWA, if you want a Major League Wrestling, like any of those types of places, or New Japan. That might be more of a benefit. And that's actually something I would think of as a Dolph Ziggler would benefit him. I do not think he's going anywhere else. I think he's going to go to AEW or possibly take some time off and come back to WWE. Who knows? And the third of that list for sure is either, well, I guess there's a third and a fourth, because I think it would be Matt Riddle. I think Riddle's going to go to AEW too. But if you wanted to be a main eventer, if you wanted to be the guy of a company, Impact could use a guy like him for a year, or Elias. So say what you will about Elias, the guy has a look. The guy should be given more freedom to work on the mic to see what he can actually do outside of his shtick of saying the same three lines every week when they did use him, actually. But I think he'd be a big deal somewhere else. Like, I think he'd be a big deal in Impact. I think he'd be a big deal on the indies or even like the NWA or something. So that's the four right there. It's Elias, Dolph Ziggler, Matt Riddle, and Mustafa Ali. I think any of those four could take a year, work for Impact, be a main eventer, be a headline some big pay-per-views, and then their stock would rise. I don't know. We'll see. The list is weird. I don't know Rick Boogs at all. Like, was he the guy that hurt Big E?
No, that was, that's, oh, what's his name? He's in the, what? One of the other guys, brutes. He's hanging out with Sheamus. I can't remember his name. He's some other meathead. But Rick Boogs is the guy who was he was playing the air guitar. I think it might have been a real guitar. I think he was playing a real guitar for a while there to Shinsuke's entrance music. Yeah, he was like live playing Shinsuke to the ring for a while. And now that Shinsuke's been reinvented, well, basically their whole act was broken up after he tore something in his leg, you know, like he mangled his leg at WrestleMania, of all places, in the middle of their tag team title match to open the show. So that was the end of Rick Boogs. And
I think, too, that something that maybe have cursed a few of these guys is their fucking names. Dolph Ziggler has been a terrible name since the day he came out.
I actually haven't. I don't mind Dolph Ziggler because it's like a really weird name. And that to me is fine for a wrestler. It's got to stand out. And Dolph Ziggler does stand out. But you know what? I don't know. Rick Boogs.
Rick Boogs.
I don't like that one as much. I would say that there are some names that WWE has come up with, right? That it's like, how did you ever, especially in like, from like 2010 to 2015 or 16, like before NXT really became its own thing. I mean, people were getting names that were really, really bad. I mean, Michael McGillicuddy.
Oh my God. Yeah. Those are Vince names where he's just like throwing things against the wall and it's like, let's call it Great Balls of Fire. You know, like, oh God, dude.
Get ready for the genesis of McGillicuddy.
Oh, that was the best promo ever. I am not familiar at all with Aaliyah.
Aaliyah. Man, NXT. That's an interesting story. She was featured on the very first documentary series ever produced for the WWE Network. She was a new hiree back in like 2014, 2015 to the NXT system, and it took forever for them to bring her to any level of TV because she was just bad. She's just bad at this, folks. She's just bad. They spent however much money, however many resources, she had the very best training available for years and could not get past like occasional NXT appearance.
Wow.
And then they finally did call her up to the main roster, probably because they were like, look, she's been down there forever. We have to claim that we tried to do something with her before we fire her.
Yeah.
And so they brought her up and she hung out on the main roster for a couple of months. She had a very brief tag team championship win with Raquel Rodriguez. But then she was, I think, immediately injured. And after that, it was over.
Well, another big release was Ezekiel.
Yeah. I was going to say Elias was released, but what about Ezekiel?
Yeah, they both were, apparently.
Oh, they both were. Oh, I only saw the Elias name on the list. No, Elias, that's another guy where it's like it's a really big question mark because, honest
to God, I don't understand
it. Nothing that he did would ever make you think, like, oh, you need to get rid of that guy because all he ever did was everything they asked him to do.
And
which
he was always over.
Yeah, he always got
as
over
a good
with
guy,
this shit.
Bad guy, good guy, bad guy, always over. He always was like, when his music would hit, the crowd reacted every time. It's like, what more do you need this guy to do?
They all said walk with Elias. They all did it with him. You know what I mean? Like the WWE crowd, they will get behind a shtick pretty quick. And especially if it's something that they can participate in. And so that whole walk with Elias thing, they reacted to that every single time in a really, really full-hearted fashion. So it puzzled me when they were like, nah, this just isn't working anymore. Let's do this Ezekiel thing. It's this weird angle that you've been repackaged, but you are repackaging yourself into your own brother. But you're going to pretend not to be your brother. It just got really confusing after a while.
And then Riddick Moss, is that the one who injured Big E?
No. Again, that
who
guy,
are these
that
fucking
guy
meatheads?
Did not get fired.
I don't. These are all interchangeable meatheads who look identical. I have no idea.
Riddick Moss, he was a one-time 24/7 champion. That should show you how high he rose on the card, which was nothing. Basically, he just showed up and they didn't know what to do with him either, and they put him in the 24/7 division, and he won the title from Mojo Rawley. Oh, that's right. That's who he was teamed up with at first. Rawley. Mojo Rawley and this guy are real life friends from football. And so the idea was that Riddick Moss was going to be like, I think he was like the offensive lineman, or yeah, there was like some nickname that like football related nickname that Mojo Rawley came up with for him. The idea being that he was going to help Mojo in different situations, hang on to the 24/7 title, but he basically turned on him almost immediately for the title. You know, to win said title. So
sure, the useless title.
Yeah, it didn't it didn't work out.
Michael Cole's favorite punchline, Top Dollar, was released.
Yeah, my favorite punchline as well. I was in the building this past December in Chicago when he attempted that big
no way,
not even dive over the top rope. Oh yeah, I saw that happen, and I just couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't believe these guys even work here. My God.
Yeah. And then a release that actually is pretty crazy, and maybe he'll wind up back in Japan. Shelton Benjamin, like that's a vet that's a can help any company. Great worker, always a great worker. But I mean, in terms of what he's been used on TV, not at all. No idea. One of Brock Lesnar's best friends in the business. Released Shelton Benjamin, was there from 2002 to 2010, and then again returned in 2007 till recent. Another one that's really a head scratcher is Emma. What's her actual name? My bad. I can't remember.
I would easily be able to Tennille Dashwood. Yes.
Tennille Dashwood, who made a great name for her in Impact, had a TV show. She was a part of the Knockouts Tag Team Champions for a long time, a really good run in Impact, and then decided, hey, WWE wants her back last year, and had her on TV for, weeks maybe at a time, and then disappeared altogether again. No idea why she even went back. And then Dolph Ziggler was, we already mentioned. Daba Kato, was he a part of the really terrible WWE Raw Underground with Shane McMahon?
Yes, he was. He was also Commander Aziz, the heavy for the Nigerian heritage acknowledging Apollo Crews in 2021.
Wow.
Yeah.
No idea.
Dana Brooke. Very strange. Dana Brooke also released kind of the Dolph Ziggler of the women's division, though, if you think about it that way.
Sure.
Like she, you know, they just didn't have anything to do with her for a long, long time. They did. I will say, I think she made the most of what she was given there with the 24/7 stuff. I really do believe that. And I think that she was always a little better than people probably gave her credit for. But the problem was she had, like, I don't know. She just had too many years where she wasn't improving. And, you know, the reputation lasts. Reputation makes a big difference, especially in that company. So I guess I'm not surprised things went the way they did. But, you know, we'll see if she winds up resurfacing somewhere. What I could also see for some of these folks, maybe Dolph and Shelton Benjamin in particular, who knows? They could wind up coming back as coaches if they need coaches at the PC. Because, I mean, like, that is kind of the thing about AEW. If you're bringing on a senior talent, if you will, if you're bringing on somebody like a Danielson, for example, Danielson is very much in a dual role at the moment, right? He's kind of a coach wrestler. Yeah. And so that's sort of what AEW is providing as a path for a guy like a Ziggler or a Benjamin. But like WWE could also do that same thing if they were looking for some help in the PC. I guess we'll see if they... You know, obviously, they have a fully staffed performance center, so it's not like they're just going to hire somebody for no reason. We'll see what develops there, but I just wanted to mention that as a possibility, you know, for a next step for some of these folks.
So, two releases that I actually don't understand, because I actually thought they were really good, was the male models, Mansoor and May. So I thought they were very funny when they paired them with, what's his name? LA Knight, when he has a different character, but I thought they were pretty good as a tag team, entertaining duo, very good promos, like very funny promos. I'm not familiar at all with Quincy Elliott. No idea. Quincy Elliott riding a scooter to the ring. Shanky. Mm-mm. Big dude. Looks like he was a tough guy. I don't know.
Yeah. He hung out with Jinder Mahal for like a second.
Ulyssa Leon. I don't know. NXT started in 2021, so only there for a cup of tea. Kevin Ventura Cortez, looks like he was actually on an episode of Raw once. I have no idea who that dude is. Looks kind of like a slightly bulked up, tattooed version of Don Callis with hair back in the old days.
Cyrus.
Honestly, kind of looks like Cyrus. Ikemanjiro? Mm-mm. Not familiar. Brooklyn Barlow.
It's kind of funny that you're like I care enough about these releases to go over the list, but like the majority of the list, you're like, I don't even know who this person is.
Well, I'm trying to get to the one. Bryson Montana. Okay, no idea.
I don't know who that is.
But the last person released last week was Matt Riddle.
Okay, so that's
what are your thoughts about
cut,
Matt
though?
Riddle?
I mean, right. That's a totally, to me, I don't even loop that into the same thing because it appears that that is very much a potentially even
behavior?
Just a discipline. Right. A discipline cut. It appears that he had an incident with an airport recently, that resulted
and
in
also
him,
years
like,
ago,
show
a harassment.
It's crazy. I mean, obviously we got a lot going on there, so I don't want to comment too much, only to say that, I have enjoyed Matt Riddle as a professional wrestler. I think he's a very talented guy. But clearly there are some other things happening right now as well. And I've always held the consistent viewpoint, you know, with Jeff Hardy and a lot of the people who have these kind of different troubles happening outside of the ring. You know, obviously that stuff's got to come first. And I feel like that is going to be something that even an AEW let's be real. That would actually be a pretty big move. If Matt Riddle showed up in AEW anytime soon, I mean, that is a WWE-pushed superstar. I mean, that's a guy who had a match with Roman Reigns for the title last year. So I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that he could show up in AEW and get a pretty big push. But the question would be, does he have the rest of the stuff buttoned up? And that's going to be the hard question for really any company to answer until he can prove otherwise.
Maybe that's why, and this is where I put him in, is where he spends a year in Impact, a year in MLW, wherever, and does, like you said, button up his behavior, clean up his act and whatever, and puts a year in, just like similar to like Big Cass, you know, W. Morrissey, who is now Big Bill or whatever the fuck they call him in AEW. Like, they needed a sample size of enough time for him to show, like, yes, he's dedicated to the sport. He's not going to get in trouble. He's not quitting on anybody. You know, he's over his, you know, past demons or whatever have you you want to say about it. And he's put in the work to get back into a main event spot again, or main event meaning WWE or AEW. You know, I really did think that he worked out really well in Impact. It was sucky to see him go, but now it makes sense because, you know, you put in the time. You show everybody that you're willing to work hard in front of lesser crowds and lesser money, obviously, and really put your work in. And I think that'll help. And a guy like Riddle might do similar. I don't know if his ego would ever allow him to do something like that, but who knows? If he showed up in Impact and headlined a couple big shows and then, you know, put himself back out there like, look, I signed a 6-month contract. Like, I'm ready to work for someone and the WWE can bring him back or AEW can bring him in. You know, who knows? But, I don't know. We would have to see, because if AEW brought him in and he just messed up again, then it would be a very short-lived, you know, another short-lived situation where it's like, well, thanks for coming. We'll see you later.
It's true. But it is worth mentioning that Matt Riddle did, in fact, get his start in professional wrestling on the indies.
Right.
And he had a pretty notable stint with PWG, the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, around the same time that the Young Bucks and Adam Cole and everyone there would have also been working there. So there
all
are a
guys,
lot
yeah.
of people that he has likely has some form of inroad with in AEW. If he, I guess, there's not a lot of conversation about him with them because they've been in separate environments now for years. I mean, he's been with NXT since 2018. So, you know, pre AEW even, you know, we'd really would not have had the chance to see him and, you know, talked about in that light. But I would think that would be really interesting if they could bring him in there and possibly have him work with some of those folks that he worked with previously to kind of reinvigorate his career. Because, it not that he was going nowhere, that's kind of almost the tragic thing, is that WWE, he was doing a lot with the opportunities they were giving him. You know, the big tag team with Randy Orton is obviously the thing that's going to be remembered. But that is, you know, I mean, that's no small potatoes. We're talking about Randall Keith Orton.
Randall.
You know, he's a legacy performer for that company. If you're involved in something, it's almost like when Daniel Bryan was in that tag team with Kane.
Yeah.
When he was like coming up in the main event, that was like a, that was almost like a stamp, not quite a stamp of approval, but almost like a little WWE canon stamp. Like, here you go. Like, you know that this guy is now a real bona fide, you know, superstar because he's teaming with a star that we consider to be a legend. And like,
right.
That was what they had going on with Rated RK Bro. Or not Rated, sorry. RK Bro. That was
Rated
RK. It's their trio's name. Rated RK Bro.
Rated RK Bro. That would have been a great trio. No, I agree too. And I think I really liked the Randy Matt Riddle storyline for a while. It was really
Randy. Where are you, Randy?
You know, like, come on, Randy. Like, I thought it was really good. And seeing, you know, and then they both got injured. And so it got cut short a little bit. But when seeing that release come up, it was like, oh, he must have fucked up. Like, he must have done something wrong. Because there's no way you pull that out. But then again, who knows? I mean, it's WWE. They'll do whatever the hell they want. And they look at the pros and cons of everybody. And it's like, sorry, like, this is the new standard we have now. If you're, you know, three strikes, you're out, you know. Drug issues and the harassment issues, and now we're talking something else. It's just like, sorry, dude. Like, we at least need to let you go for now, and you get your shit together. A couple years down the road, we'll figure it out and stuff. So, who knows? But you are right. Like, it is interesting if you look up Matt Riddle pre WWE stuff. Like, he was in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. He was in the Indies. He was doing lots of stuff with a lot of those same guys. You know, he's got a reputation and you know, a lot of camaraderie with a lot of guys, even in Japan. I mean, he worked with freaking Jushin Thunder Liger in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Like, it's just crazy to look at those matches, you know, between all of them. But you can't use that same exact mentality, though, and look at it, though, because if that was the case, Kevin Owens would have left when his contract was up a year or two ago. You know, like AJ Styles, when his contract was up in 2020, he would have went to AEW. You know, like, that's not always just because they all work together. It doesn't always mean that they want to continue to work together forever. I mean, Nakamura should be back in NJPW by now because they weren't using him for years, but now finally they are in WWE. So there's always a lot of interesting parallels to that going on there. And you're going to take whatever the best deal is, and you're going to take whatever the best deal is for your career. And so we'll see. I it's a lot of people. So we'll see who gets used and who doesn't get used. I think, though, in all seriousness, I think of look at a Keith Lee. I liked Keith Lee a lot. He's a great worker, super, super talented guy. But what is the deal with no one knowing how to use him? Like, I just don't understand it. And you may say that AEW has done some good stuff with him recently, but I haven't seen it. Like, I haven't seen any of those moments that have made him even a big deal in NXT. WWE brought him up. They fucked it up. AEW's brought him up. And it's like, why you put these guys in a holding pattern? Let them work against some big names. Let them shine on TV. Let them main event a Dynamite here or there. So, but who is it? It's Bronson Breed or Creed or Bronson, whatever his name was. When he had showed up in Impact as Jonah and he took out the world champ, like, that was awesome. And he worked in NJPW and they put him in there with, like, we saw him in Chicago up against the Bullet Club. Like, there was so many good moments. This Jonah character was like, this is great. Him and Jeff Cobb, like, doing that big, you know, big men slapping big meats, you know, things like that. He took a year, and WWE was like, dude, you are excellent. We need to bring you back. And now, boom, he's back at WWE. He's got a big thing going. Like, that's the way you do it. I think you go out there, you bet on yourself for a year, you put yourself out there and show them that they made a mistake by cutting you and showing them how to use you. Like, if they didn't know how to use you, fine, show them how to use you. And so, I don't know. I just, like, if I were, like you said, it's good to see these guys getting their freedoms back. It's good to see these guys. And we'll just, you know, 21 wrestlers. That's crazy. 21 wrestlers getting cut in the fall. Like, usually it's like the day after WrestleMania or a week after WrestleMania, whatever. But, like, this is a big, big number of people that they cut. We'll see who flourishes from this, and we'll see who flounders, because I have a feeling some big names are going to make some big moves pretty soon. Just like WWE just recently signed Jade Cargill. That's a big deal. So what do you think WWE is going to do with Jade Cargill? Do you have any idea at all?
Hopefully more than AEW did with her. AEW, here's the
arguably thing. AEW did what they could with someone who had very little training. It was like she was, yes, a champion while they were training her. She was a, yes, champion while she should have been in Performance Center.
100%. Like, yes. I mean, we've criticized WWE about it in the past, you know, training people on TV. I mean, obviously that's something out of a very different era for them. I mean, but, like, it definitely was something that they used to do, and it's something, yep, that AEW seemingly was kind of pushed into doing because they were like, well, we have this person. We can't believe we have her, but we have her. Yeah. Let's do something with her. So it's clear that what is unfortunate to me is that it's like she was brought to AEW because Mark Henry also was in AEW. It was like a connection through Mark, and I think that the story went that Mark Henry tried to get her a look from WWE, and they like blew it off or ignored him. And so it was like that opened the door for this to even happen in the first place. So you could argue that much like Cody Rhodes, she kind of was a fish out of water in AEW in the sense that she, you know, it's not that she's not built for the business. I really think that she could do very, very well. I think she's done well already. I think she was a great, you know, for what they, for her level of experience in a lot of the matches they had her in, she did hold up her end of the bargain for the most part. I can't remember a lot of big botches that were like her fault. You know what I mean?
True. So, and her most recent matches have shown that she has made some progress in her wrestling career and also being able to be a good worker against these people who are also very talented. But a lot of the matches that she did have were her in control, looking strong, very Goldberg-esque, you know, like what you would do with someone who's very green. Goldberg couldn't work a lot towards the beginning of his career. Just look at the Goldberg-William Regal or Steven Regal match if you want to see an interesting match between two guys. With very, very different sides of the experience levels. But like, this is a big deal. Jade Cargill is already a big deal. Jade Cargill is already someone that the wrestling world knows, either for being someone who's very green and very powerful, but also being very beautiful, strong, and just the look is amazing. Because WWE posted today on their social media, on Twitter and Facebook, a picture of Jade Cargill saying she signed a multi-year deal with WWE. You don't do that with indie guys. They don't do that with other people. Like, they don't do that with Cody Rhodes or other wrestlers that they bring in from Impact or New Japan or AEW, even for that matter. Although this is a different company now, so maybe that is something they're going to start doing. But I mean, this is like they signed an Olympic gold medalist. This is like they signed an NBA wrestler, or I'm sorry, NBA basketball player or something. Like, this is a big deal. Like, they made the announcement already that they signed this person. So who knows when they're going to show up on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, maybe just Performance Center for a while. Who knows? Like, it could be a big deal. I mean, if they did it right and they advertised it right and they did everything with it that they could, she could be in the Royal Rumble. And holy fuck, would that be an epic debut. Epic debut. That'd Who doesn't want a debut at the Royal Rumble? But like, here's the thing, though, is I think AEW was very strategic with what they did with her. Obviously, she teamed up with Shaquille O'Neal once. Sorry, it was Shaquille O'Neal. So that was great. That was a great way to have her come
match.
In.
Right.
Right. And there was a lot of other things they did. But the people that they generally would put with her in the ring were shorter in stature. Like, there was these 5'3", 5'6" at the most girls that they would go up against. And she never had a match with like Nyla Rose. She never had a match with like Britt Baker. Like, there's
no,
so many.
She had a match. She had at least one or two with Nyla, and those were some of her best matches because she was working against someone closer to her own physical size.
That's interesting. Actually, that must've been way at the beginning then, cause I don't actually remember that. They've cooled off. They've cooled off on Nyla Rose so hardcore that I don't even know when she's been on TV last. But like,
just
anyway,
a couple weeks ago in a four-way. But anyway,
see, this is how much I paid attention. But like, I'm curious though, when the WWE does this and they move forward with the Jade Cargill, the debut or whatever, when she gets in the ring and if she's against like a Rhea Ripley or a Charlotte Flair or, you know, one of these people that are probably the exact same size as her, I'm very curious to see how they make her still look dynamic and special. Because she is dynamic and very special, but that's, you know, in a very different world of wrestlers. I think when she stands toe to toe with Charlotte and people look at like, oh, wait, they're the same height. Like, yeah, they are the same height. It's not, maybe it's going to pull a little bit of that luster out.
But they still, I mean, we're talking about Charlotte Flair, who is the tall, like probably the tallest woman on the roster, if not
probably
more so, or if not like Raquel or something, you know what I mean? Like we're talking about very tall people. So whether she's the same height as them, I mean, I feel like that doesn't necessarily, but I see what you're going for. The idea that like,
I don't know.
You know, in AEW, that's certainly not the land of the giants like WWE has been known to be. So, right. And we'll see, you know, like how she compares that way to their other stars. But I think she could fit in very well. I think that, frankly, AEW probably carried her as far as they could, you know, and now she's going to get the chance to have some really great training. And you know what? After that point, she could take that training and who knows, she could reappear in AEW someday. It's, you know, if there's anything about wrestling that we've especially learned over the last decade or so. It's that when, even when you think something is done, it's never done. Like, there's always a possibility that something could wind up cropping up. We never thought that CM Punk would ever come back to wrestling. Well, he did. We never thought that Bryan Danielson was going to unretire after being medically retired in the middle of the decade. Well, he did. Edge had to retire in the early part of the 2010s, and he was able to come back at the end of the start of the 2020s.
Christian's a champion in 2023. Christian, like, what's Cage, going on here?
The rightful TNT champion, as frankly he has been this whole time.
Yeah, true.
That's a great story too. Man, I love that story. But it is good. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things in wrestling where it's like you just never can say never. You never can say never. And I think that she could very well wind up in AEW down the road, because at this point she is an AEW. You know, she has this resume. She has this that she can fall back on. Hell, Brock Lesnar wasn't on main roster WWE TV for more than 2 years in his first run, and he was remembered almost a decade later by the audience, right? I mean, obviously, we're talking about Brock Lesnar. He was also in the UFC in the intervening time. But still, for wrestling fans, that two-year resume that she has and that super long title reign, we're not just going to forget that overnight.
Oh, of course not.
And if and when she does decide to return to AEW, I hope that it's with open arms, and I hope that, you know, they can match her up with people at that point that are going to be just, I guess, a better match for her, because obviously for some reason they just kept her so far away from any other woman that they booked in any significant fashion. It was like she wasn't allowed to wrestle them because she wasn't allowed to beat them. But why not? I mean, they're losing to everybody else, so why can't they lose to her? At least it would feel like Britt Baker finally decided to take a shot at the TBS championship after Jade Cargill leaves.
I know.
I don't understand. Then it has to be something backstage. Maybe they didn't want to work with her. I don't know. I have no idea.
It is a little weird. We're all speculation here, but there was a lot of weird heat and stuff with her and Thunder Rosa as well. So it's like, oh, what's going on here, guys? Like, whatever happened to your favorite women's wrestler in AEW?
Jamie
the one who
Hayter.
You said, yeah, what the
She's
hell?
Been hurt.
Where's she?
She's been hurt ever since she had to drop the belt over the summer back to Toni Storm. I mean, that only happened because of her injury. I mean, and she would have been on the All-In card, you know, in London. Unfortunate. Yeah, she's completely, she's still in injury status at this point. We don't know what's going on.
That sucks. I don't understand the idea, too, of the concept of wrestlers, when they are injured, not using them in any way. Just, like, letting them disappear and never be spoken of again. It's just weird, because, like, wrestling is half in-ring work and half promo work, and if you're looking for something for Jamie Hayter to do, have her come out with Britt Baker still. Have her come fly in and just do promos. Like, I mean, I don't know what you do with these people. Just having them disappear because of injuries is just mind-boggling to me, because back in the day, some of my favorite promos ever were by Bret the Hitman Hart, was him in crutches with one of his legs in a cast, and he's just holding it as the leader of the Hart Foundation.
Right.
He'd use his cast to help his, you know, faction members win matches and all kinds of stuff.
But even Britt, through her injury, I mean, we're bringing up AEW Women's Division. They've already done that story, Josh. Britt had that massive run of like 8 or 9 months where she was in a wheelchair, but she was on TV from her own doctor's section or whatever in like a Pope mobile of a car. And so, I mean, that's definitely something memorable. I would argue that is some of the more memorable stuff she's ever even done on TV. I mean, there are definitely moments where they do use the wrestlers when they're injured. I think it probably just comes down to, you know, what's going to be creatively the most beneficial thing at the end of the day. I guess I'm not sure, because you're right. I mean, there are situations where injured wrestlers do work, and then there are other situations. Well, maybe it's also a rehab thing, because I guess if you think about depending on the injury, I mean, there is a lot of intense rehab that has to happen, and that's not something that's often able to be done on the road. And so obviously if you're, you know, but then again, you could always record from somewhere else and send it in, but do they want to, you know, but frankly, this could also be the biggest factor. You know, what happens on a professional sports team when you have an injury, right? Next man up. So
yeah,
it opens up opportunities for others.
Yeah.
Exactly. It could very well be that perspective where, hey, we do have this big roster with all of these other people that we are not able to use as often as we would like, even potentially, right? And then it's like, okay, Jamie Hayter is injured. Yes, we could take the TV time to give her this promo from her couch, you know, reminding everyone that she's injured, or we could just give the time to someone who actually is here and is able to contribute. Like, I guess I could see that perspective as well, you know?
That does make sense, yeah. Well, barring injuries and other wrestlers movings around in this world of professional wrestling, man, it's been a busy couple of weeks. Zach, before we part ways, what is something that you are very excited about in the wrestling world this fall? Is there anything going on?
I don't know. I'm looking forward.
Well, it's Wrestle Dream.
Yeah, I don't know. Wrestle Dream. It's coming up this Sunday. Bryan Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. are going to have a world-class exhibition. That should be very interesting for the hardcore fan. If you love wrestling, if you love the in-ring action, I feel like obviously that's going to be a certain genre of in-ring action, but I would not be shocked if they worked in some higher impact stuff as well. You know, we are talking about Danielson here, and he's not just going to sit there in the rubber hold of ZSJ forever.
Speaking of high impact, you know what I'm most looking forward to this fall?
What are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to, very much so, Will Ospreay and Mike Bailey a huge match at Bound for Glory.
Big announcement.
Which hilariously, they announced Will Ospreay's involvement at Bound for Glory and the tapings the night after, right after Bound for Glory sells out. Because we were at the tapings in July, and they were like, hey, Bound for Glory tickets still available. If you want to sign up right here, you can buy a physical ticket right here. And I'm like, what do you think, Zach? And you're like, hell no, I'm never driving this way again. These roads suck. And I said, oh, okay. Well, had we done that, we could have seen Will Ospreay. But you know what, though? We've already seen Will Ospreay against Jon Moxley in one of the coolest main events that I've ever seen at the Windy City Riot for NJPW. So it'd be hard to outdo that anyway. But
who knows? I mean, they very well could. I mean, yeah, Mike Bailey is a great wrestler, and Will is maybe the best in the world. Speaking of Will Ospreay, and let's talk a little bit about him and his UK/US championship. First off, that's a very interesting thing in its own right, because despite Will going out of his way to get a new belt with the UK flag on it that says United Kingdom Champion, and him declaring himself the United Kingdom Champion, it looks like NJPW has not exactly done so. They are still calling the title the United States title. And in fact, now when it is coming up on like title cards and when it's coming up on like captions and sort of thing, it'll say IWGP US and then in parentheses UK.
Whoa.
Champion. So basically, the story is that Will has declared his title to be a different title, but the company will not change the name of the title officially. The name of the title is still officially the United States Heavyweight Championship. Now,
that's a cool angle. I like that.
Title-related angle that could be coming up here pretty quick. One Yota Tsuji, the young upstart what are they called? Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Mm-hmm.
The under the tutelage of Tetsuya Naito.
Yes.
This man is challenged, or has challenged, I believe the match has actually already happened. That's the hilarious thing about this. Let's at least make sure that we're still talking about something with the most current information. Yota Tsuji did not beat Will Ospreay. No, go figure. Well, in the story of the match, right, in a promo that he had for a championship match against Will Ospreay this past weekend, which he did lose, but he did float the concept that the Intercontinental title, the white-strapped belt that Kota Ibushi and Shinsuke Nakamura fought over in the main event of a Wrestle Kingdom almost a decade ago now, and the belt that Naito has held, Jericho has held, you know, Tanahashi. Basically, it became its own secondary world title in a way. And it had to be unified with the heavyweight title to create the world heavyweight title that Sanada is currently holding. So Tsuji says in a promo, I want that title. Yes, it would be great to beat Will Ospreay and win the title that Will Ospreay has, because Will Ospreay is one of the best, if not the best in the world, but the belt that I really want is the Intercontinental Championship.
What?
And his suggestion was that if Naito was able to win the title from Sonata at Wrestle Kingdom, that Naito would then separate the titles himself.
Once again,
he would once again declare himself both world heavy, or well, again, then it would just be heavyweight champion,
IWGP
and
heavyweight
Intercontinental champion,
yeah.
champion, and then Yota, if he had been successful for challenging for the UK title, would trade that title for the new Intercontinental title. And obviously, he didn't win the match, so all of this is now for, you know, complete conjecture. But it's interesting that they are acknowledging this in a promo that he cuts, hyping up a main event championship pay-per-view match.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's, you know, so I love the idea of the U.S. title. I think that was really cool when NJPW brought that out. And I know that I think that when a lot of big names left, like your AJ Styles and your Kenny Omegas, they needed to make some changes to the company, and not necessarily the look and the feel of NJPW, but their championship belts, making them feel like new, making them feel special. I really love the lineage, though. I love seeing that little side thing that says the 57th champion, you know, 57th Intercontinental champion, or 43rd, cruiserweight champion. I know that's not what they call them. Junior heavyweight champion. Sorry. But like when they did the update to the IC title and the world title, or the heavyweight title, becoming the IWGP world champion with that, this, I would call it strange looking kind of crown looking championship belt. Yeah. I didn't love it initially. I got used to it. Like most things you get used to in the world of wrestling. What does WWE have 3 world champions right now for whatever reason? Like, that's pretty bizarre. Reigns being two of them.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Let's not even get into that.
It's ugly. It's ugly and it's bizarre. But you get used to things over time. If NJPW were to separate those two championship belts again, I do think there's support because the NJPW has enough space. They have enough talent to spread belts around. They're not overblowing it like AEW, which has way too many belts right now. But they may kind of create this weird, like, well, which one's the mid-card belt then? Because if there's a U.S. title and an Intercontinental title, I mean, NJPW for the longest time has treated that Intercontinental Championship nearly at the same level as the world title anyway. I mean, there were main events of Wrestle Kingdom fought over the Intercontinental title and not the world title back in the day. Shinsuke Nakamura, Nakamura was in the main event scene with the Intercontinental title as the main event of Wrestle Kingdom 1 year. And like, I would love to see that IC belt come back in Japan because they do treat it well. They treat it with respect. It was sort of a bummer to me to see them get slammed together in an amalgam of a championship, the crown thing. But man, I'd love to see where it would go. I mean, even if it is like kind of just all speculation at this point, because that storyline is maybe not going to happen. But if Naito wins the championship at Wrestle Kingdom and it says, like, you know what, we're going to split this apart again, and I want to, you know, have two championships and whatever his faction is and whatever he wants to move forward with and spreading the belts out that way, who knows? But that would be really cool. But I mean, if there's a U.S. title and an Intercontinental title, there's one thing like Impact, and I don't want to keep saying Impact, but the X Division Championship belt in Impact Wrestling has been long looked at as something unique and different. It's almost the identity of Impact. Like 20 years going now, Impact has had the X Division champion. People remember who the X Division title holders are. Some of the best of all time. The Samoa Joes, the AJ Styles, the Christopher Daniels, you know, like all sorts of really, really great workers. And then you think of like the Knockouts Championship. The Knockouts, the Women's Championship in Impact, has always meant a big deal. It's always been a very, very well, especially this year, because I'm hearing that Bound for Glory is probably going to be headlined by Mickie James and Trinity. Like, for real, I think that's what they're going to do for the main event of Bound for Glory. It makes the most sense. because on one hand, they're already announcing matches for BFG, and it's sounding like a very solid card. I don't even know if it matters what they do with the rest of the show. It's going to be good because you got Trinity and Mickey James, you got Alex Shelley and Josh Alexander, and then you've got, which is going to be a very, I love the chemistry and the chess matches that's going on between Alex Shelley and Josh Alexander. And then you have Will Ospreay and Mike Bailey. So that's like already a good show. But like when they Impact constantly tried to make a mid-card title in the traditional wrestling sense of the IC belt or a US belt or whatever, it never worked because people are like, the X Division belt means more, or the world title, like it doesn't matter. So they're always doing this, the Legends Championship belt or the TV champion, the grand champion of Impact Wrestling. And now the DMC, the Digital Media Championship, which they've done right though. The DMC has actually done pretty well, because they make it a very much like matches are on Twitter or on Facebook and stuff, because that's digital media. They still have matches for it on pay-per-views and TV shows and stuff, traditional sense of that way. But it's weird. It's like, who's going to be the DMC? Right now, the most ridiculous thing ever in Impact is Tommy Dreamer is the digital media champion. Just ridiculous. But anyway, that's the thing that I worry about, is if you bring back the Intercontinental title, does it devalue the US title again, or does it put it in a strange spot? Does it muddy the waters on which championship means more? I don't even know if it matters which championship means more. New Japan, it holds their championship belts in a very sportsman style, you know, like people think about like the who was the NFL MVP last year? That matters. Who was, you know, the AFC champion, who's the NFC champion? Like these things matter. Like in WWE, it's like, who was the Intercontinental champion three championships ago? Like, I have no fucking idea. Why would I care? It doesn't matter. The belts are props, as Vince has told us and Vince Russo told us. That doesn't matter.
Those belts are props, bro.
You said CM Punk. I get to say Russo. We promise we'd never say those names again. But that's the only thing I would say. And I'd love to see it. I'd love to see the IC belt back again, but I'd also like to see the U.S. championship then. So say they do shows in Vegas or California or Chicago again, maybe the US title's the main event then. So who knows? We'll see.
We shall see. Before we get going, there's one last thing I want to make sure I bring up, because it's actually a pretty big story, and it's what I remembered at the beginning of the show. We're coming full circle.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. So the USA Network has picked up SmackDown starting in 2024. It's going to stay on Fridays live as it is now, and they're just putting it over to USA. But the ramifications of that possibly being that now the Raw and NXT shows are probably moving, because with the money that they've spent on SmackDown, that was the money that they, in theory, would have spent on Raw, right? And so are they really going to want to spend that much more to keep Raw? Or will WWE get more by moving Raw to a different place? And that's probably what's going to happen. And so now the conversation is that because the NFL has Monday Night Football, Raw might not even be on Mondays anymore.
Well, it depends on how you want to do this, because USA is Paramount. Is that the Paramount company? Is that who owns all of that,
or am I thinking, NBC Universal.
NBC Universal, that's right. So the Peacock.
They've been in bed with WWE, obviously, for a long time. And right, with Peacock being the home of all WWE live events, that's a big thing. Obviously, they're going to stay in the WWE business in some fashion. But I think it's interesting to see that this move to grab SmackDown away from where it was on Fox, it's like the staple, the show that we all grew up thinking that's wrestling. Monday Night Raw, it's always Monday nights. It's been that way for 30 plus years, and now it's not going to be Monday Night Raw anymore. It's just going to be Raw on some other day of the week.
I do not think Monday Night Raw will move off of Monday nights. That'd be silly. And by the way, several times in the past there has been Thursday Raw Thursdays and Tuesday Night Raws as well. I remember them well. They were terrible. But they've moved things around. USA Network used to have dog shows on Monday nights, and they would preempt Raw to Tuesday night or a Thursday, and it was bizarre.
Was drawing those ratings.
What's to say that NBC Universal won't want to put Raw on NBC on a Monday night?
Well, if they're already spending the money to put SmackDown on cable.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Swap them.
Maybe.
Monday nights are for wrestling. I mean, that's, who knows what kind of ratings they'd bring in for that. The Raw needs to be bumped back down to 2 hours, though. I can't imagine a three-hour TV show being on primetime television, on free over-the-air television. I'm sure people would get about a half an hour to an hour into it, and they'd be like, yeah, this is terrible. Like, who's going to sit through 3 hours of this?
So we have to cross our fingers. We have to cross our fingers that WWE moves Raw to a network station so that they have to bring it back to 2 hours. I don't think that's going to happen, though, because in theory, SmackDown's going to stay at 2 hours on Fridays. So their 3 hour show, Raw, which has been 3 hours now for over a decade, they're not just going to get rid of an hour. That's wishful thinking.
Let's just bring on more of the speculation then. So who's to say that Fox isn't butthurt about losing their big wrestling show and their
Fox
big wrestling network?
It wasn't worth the money. That was the worst. Well, that was the scuttlebutt, is that they were pretty much out of the market for it because they went, well, we tried it. It didn't work out the way we wanted it to.
Well, then you go with the lesser expensive options. I mean, who's to say AEW Rampage doesn't move to Fox then instead? Or why not just bring in Impact Wrestling? Seriously, I'm not kidding. Like, if that was they had a market for it, and you say, like, hey, Impact, here's a deal for your television show primetime on Thursday or Friday nights or whatever night you guys want. Here's a couple extra $1 million or two, and then you bring in someone to headline their show, like a Dolph Ziggler or a Matt Riddle. Like, why not? Why not?
I mean, I guess that's true, but we also got to consider that there are those other, I would imagine that the other sports out there, you know, not just wrestling, obviously, because I would say that WWE is in a unique position in this conversation, that obviously Impact Wrestling cannot replace WWE on a TV schedule. It's not the same
they
level
did on,
product.
They did on Spike TV just fine.
Just fine. That's a very big, there's a very big asterisk next to that. Just fine.
Just fine.
and for how long? But
7 years.
No, but for real, you can't. Impact cannot replace WWE on a television, especially like a national broadcast television product right now. It's just not the same thing. AEW would be a closer answer there. But even that, I would say WWE is in the unique position that they are more comparable to these other very large sports entities, the NBA, the NFL. They have that name, brand value, and financial power. And so they are in the conversation with those areas as far as, well, what are these networks going to spend their money on? Who's to say that, I mean, the NFL is only continuing to be more successful. Their price tag for their TV package is only going to continue to rise. Mm-hmm. So at that point, if Fox wants to spend the money on that instead of spending the money they spent on WWE, I can't blame them, you know? Those are the conversations that they're now involved in.
I agree, but, and here's the big, big but, is that WWE is in a very different, pro wrestling is in a very different atmosphere than the rest of those sports, because NFL is 4 to 5 months a year. MLB is not, you know, these aren't TV programs that they can put on every Friday night from now for 365, well, about 52 weeks a year. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's like, it's only going to be a certain pocket of time. So then they'd have to make more negotiations for Major League Baseball Friday nights or NBA Friday nights or whatever to try to like fill in those spots throughout the year through three to possibly four different sports. And I love that idea. And I think that would work out really well. You have a Friday night sports night, whatever, but then you're negotiating with them and them. And it would by far cost more money than an AEW thing, than an Impact Wrestling thing, than or even another WWE thing. Like, who knows what? Create another show and have it on a different night. Like, who's to say WWE wouldn't do that? Who's to say now NXT wouldn't get bumped to Fox? I mean, who's to say Fox Sports wouldn't have FS1 or whatever wouldn't have NXT? You know, just for the hell of it. So you never know. There's a lot of different ways they can go with it. Or because Fox has probably went to bed with WWE and paid them this crazy amount of money for this crazy contract to have SmackDown on it. And obviously it did not bring in the ratings that they had promised. And there's a reason why this contract has become reinvesting into it again for another run, because it just didn't wind up working for probably either party. I'm sure WWE loved the fact that they had all this extra money from a network TV show, but they didn't do anything with it. They shit the bed with the TV show and who knows what. So other than the ratings spike recently having The Rock on and a few other, John Cena being back on SmackDown, another big deal. But like, Man, you just don't know. I don't know. And I would, if I were Fox, I would say, yeah, I'm probably good on wrestling for a while because we just did it again and it tried and, you know, whatever. And, you know, NBC Universal wants it back and then they can figure out what to do with that stuff. I would never, ever, ever in my wildest imagination expect WWE to agree to any kind of TV deal to have Raw not be on Monday nights, though. It just won't happen.
We'll see. We'll see. Vince is no longer directly in command. So there may be something going on. But hey, Joshua, tell the people where they can find you out there in the wide web, because there's a lot of places where they can find you now.
That's right, people. I'm going to tell you people where you can find me.
You people.
Yeah, if you want to hang.
I've turned evil, and it's all because of you people.
I think that. So this is the difficult part. I still call it Twitter. And if you want to find me on social media,
the big X
at _ Joshua Turbo. Don't forget the underscore, as it is the most important underscore in all the internet. I'm also on Instagram, Joshua Turbox, Joshua Turbo on Twitch. I think I'm even _ Joshua Turbo on Threads now. I joined Threads. Threads is like the new Twitter. So if you like any of those,
I have not heard Threads come up in a single conversation since it debuted as the new Twitter.
That's how I started this with, I think I have a Threads account because I think Instagram was like, you want to try Threads? And I was like, sure. And then I just created it and it was like, would you like all your Instagram posts to just show up on Threads? And I'm like, that's easy. Sure. You know, like Facebook, Threads and Instagram are all under the Meta umbrella now. So I'm on all three. If you're honestly, seriously, I'm a good talk. I'm a good chat. So it's just at me. You know, you want to talk to me about wrestling, video games, movies, comic books. I'm about it all. Sci-fi. Let's talk about the new Star Trek stuff. Let's talk about Star Wars. Actually, no, I don't know anything about new Star Wars stuff. I'm completely out of that wheelhouse anymore.
Anything. You're not missing anything.
I don't think I am, unfortunately, which sucks because Star Wars is amazing, or at least it used to be. Twitch is fun. I stream on Tuesday and Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Central Time. Most nights I'm playing Sea of Stars. Most recently, fucking gorgeous RPG. Really, really having a good time. A really fun game. I'm playing that on my PS5, so I'm streaming that. Streaming a few other games here and there, too, just to have fun with that. And it's been good. It's good. Twitch is a lot of fun. It's a blast. It gets me to reinvest time into an old library of games, a pile. My to-do list of games that I've always wanted to play, so it's gotten me to beat, I think we're close to 75 games over the last 2 years that I played through that I just left on my back burner for who knows how long. So Twitch is great. Otherwise, if you want to continue listening to our beautiful pro wrestling off topic podcast, you can always find us on facebook.com/pro wrestling off topic. Also on Podomatic. Be one of our followers. Just click the little follow button. And every time we post a new episode, you'll be notified and you can listen to our notified little ears.
That Your notified little ears. And with that, we're going to say goodbye to those ears. Goodbye. Good
Goodbye.
Night. Good luck.
Save it for... Bang! Is that the Kenny Omega? Goodbye. Farewell. Bang. I think so. Goodbye. Goodbye. Rising up to the sound.